It's about choice. I'm a woman. This is my body, and I have the right to make a choice. A choice about whether I want to carry a child or whether I don't want to carry a child. And I don't want anybody putting condemnation or guilt on me. Precious one, I want you to know this, that you don't have to worry about condemnation from others, because if you use that excuse and you have an abortion, you're going to feel it in your heart. We'll talk about it today as we look at America at the crossroads. America, beloved, is at the crossroads. The problem is, I don't think we realize it. I think that the nation is in a state of anxiety, but it is anxiety not over the future of this nation, but over their personal future, over their personal welfare. And so as we get ready to elect a president of the United States of America, as we get ready to elect new congressmen, what direction is our nation going to take? Now, we've been studying Ezekiel chapter 14 all this time, all this week. We've been looking at what happens when a country sins against God, when a country is unfaithful towards God. And what you have to stop and ask yourself, is America unfaithful? Has America turned their back on God? Well, listen, I read something that woke me up. It was like a slap in the face. And this is what it says. And this is from Barna Research that was done January the 21st, 2008. And it says, Christians have garnered both criticism and skepticism in the aftermath of recent elections. So there are elections now that were passed. Will there be a backlash against Christian voters this November, November 2008? To help gauge the possibility, the study also examined the percentage of Americans who said they believed, quote, the political efforts of conservative Christians are a major problem facing this country. Do you realize what they just said? They said that those people that are embracing the Word of God, that believe that there is a God in heaven, that He has given us His Word, that those people are a threat to the future of this country. Precious ones, I want you to know, we are not a threat to this country. We are the only hope of this country. America is in grave danger. Nobody knows what to do, but a lot of people don't even know they're in grave danger. Why? Because their whole focus is on themselves. I mean, they want to make sure that the government sees that they are taken care of mentally and emotionally and physically, and it is the government that has stepped into the role of God as the provider of their needs. And I want to tell you something, it does not work, because the focus is on us and on the government. So what can we do? Well, you know that there is a call to prayer, a grassroots movement that is calling people to prayer every Thursday at 12 noon, from 12 to 12:30, or from 12 to 1 o'clock. It is in the spirit of, and after, in a sense, the pattern of what God did in 1857. In 1857, there was a man by the name of Jeremiah Calvin Lamphere. I mean, what a name, Jeremiah Calvin Lamphere. And he was hired by the Dutch Reformed church to go out and canvass the neighborhood and see if they wanted to come to church there, because the church was thinking about simply closing the door because people were evacuating that part of New York City. So he went from door to door, knocking on the doors and sharing the word of God, handing out gospel tracts, and he wasn't getting anywhere. But as he walked the streets, he noticed all these businessmen going by. And he thought, I know that they have burdens. Why don't we have a layman's businessman's prayer meeting? He prayed about it. He felt that it was God that had dropped that thought into his mind. So he had brochures printed out, handbills in those days. Remember, it's 1857. I mean, telegraph has just come into play. It's not emails. It's not TV. You know, it's not those things. And so he gets these handbills. He hands them out. He puts out posters and says that on September 23rd, 1857, that they're going to gather together for prayer for 1 hour. They can come and go. They can stay as long as they want. So he puts out the handbill. He goes to the third floor of the consistory. That's what they called the building. And he goes to the third floor to this room where the handbills say he's going to be. And he waits and waits and waits and waits. Have you noticed all this week my watch with a red dot? Do you know what the red dot's there for? The red dot is a reminder for me when I look at my watch that it is time to pray. Time to pray for this nation. Time to pray that God would in wrath remember mercy. Time to call upon the Lord, and time to remember that the hour is late, that the time is short, and that God is about to move in judgment upon this nation and upon this earth because he watches over his word to perform it. So anyway, it was 12, 1215, 1220, no one shows up. He's by himself. 1230, no one shows up. He's by himself. 1235 or 1240, the first person walks in. All they have left is 20 minutes of prayer. And in that last 20 minutes, it ends up with six people in the room. But they decide that they're going to continue and seek God. So they meet week after week after week until eventually they decide, hey, this is so urgent. We need to meet daily, every day at 12 noon for prayer. So they make that announcement and the word spreads until the third floor is filled up, the second floor is filled up, the first floor is filled up. They have to move down the street to a Methodist church. Do you know that that began the Fulton Street revival? But to make a long story short, people started packing out these prayer meetings. Businessmen, the word spread to Chicago and the word spread to other cities. Finally, the newspapers, the Herald Tribune, which was the newspaper, sends a reporter and they start writing this up and it hits the front pages. What God is doing in answer to prayer. In those prayer meetings, a man stood up someone stood and read the prayer request. They were praying for a husband that she loved dearly, a husband that she was concerned about. And this man jumped to his feet and says, that's my wife. She's a righteous woman and I have ignored her. And she's talking about me. Oh, pray for me that I'll be saved. And another man stood up and said, no, that's not your wife. That is my wife. You pray for me. They saw between 500,000 and 1,000,000 people come to know the Lord. The standards changed in those days. They gave free telegraph time, and one place, one city would tell another city what was happening as a result of this. It was called the Fulton Street Revival, September 23rd, 1857. In October, a financial crash came. Some men were opening the windows and jumping out to their death because they had lost everything. But no man, no businessman that was coming to those prayer meetings ever took his life because he understood that it was God. This was preparation for the Civil War. As a matter of fact, it went over into the Civil War, and they saw thousands of soldiers repent and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read more about it by going to the website and find out about it. But what I want us to do is I've talked and I opened this program talking to you about choice, about the fact that it is my life. So I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. And by the way, how do you get in touch with us? How do you find out about these? Go to preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com. And while you're there, I want you to download your free study guide on America at the crossroads. And part of that study guide takes you to Ezekiel chapter 22. And before we take our break, I want to read a couple verses to you out of Ezekiel chapter 22. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, saying, "And you, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city? Then cause her to know all of her abominations. You shall say, 'Thus says the Lord God, a city shedding blood in her midst, so that her time will come, and that makes idols contrary to her interests for defilement. You have become guilty by the blood which you have shed, and defiled by the idols which you have made.'" You saw that Ezekiel 14 talks about those that have idols in their hearts, those that have set up stumbling blocks before their eyes. You have seen in Ezekiel 14, "If a country sins against me," God is saying to Jerusalem, "You are a bloody city." What would he say to America after all these abortions? We'll talk about it in just a minute. Girls, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know that life is really demanding right now and that there are lots of pressures. And what I do every day is I cry, "Help, Lord. I want to be the woman you want me to be in this situation." And I'm sure that that's the way you feel. I say, "Help, Lord. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope." Well, that happens to be the title of our women's conference that's coming October 21st through the 23rd. And we want to invite you to come. I can see you and eat with you and have fellowship with you and open the Word of God along with other women who have been in all sorts of varied situations. We're going to teach you the Word of God, and we're going to bring you, I pray, into a relationship with God that will strengthen you for the days ahead. Come and join us. I would love to put my arms around your neck. You look out of the window, it's a beautiful day. You see the sun shining, you see the flowers in bloom, and you think, what a beautiful, beautiful world. And then you look at the morals of a nation, and you look at the nation, and all of a sudden you look at their hands, and they are bloody hands. They're covered with the blood of the innocent. They are covered with the blood of the unborn. They are covered with the blood of murders that have taken lives and no expiation or payment that is satisfactory to God has been made for their life. You look at America, beautiful, beautiful America, and you see that America is a bloody nation. A bloody nation because women have said, I have a choice. I have a right. This is my body and I can do what I want with it. We are moving from Ezekiel chapter 14 where God says, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness, we are moving from there to Ezekiel chapter 22. And all we're going to do is get our feet not wet, but stained in a sense with his condemnation upon Jerusalem that is parallel to his condemnation against America, where God turns to them and he says, woe to you, you bloody city. Now, if you've downloaded your free study guide, if you've gone to preceptsforlife.com, or if you picked up the phone and called 1-800-763-1990, and you have asked for a copy of this study guide, and you have done what we've asked you to do, you've marked the text. And so all I'm going to ask you to do is to take a fine, well, if you have the text that we've given you, just take a red pen. And every time we come to a reference to blood, I put three red dots. Right now, just color one of the O's in blood red. Listen to what he says. It's the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel speaking, saying, and you, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city? So color the O red. Then cause her, the city, to know all of her abominations. Now, I would suggest that you color every reference to the city orange. I always color the references to the people in orange. Always cover, if I'm doing an epistle, the references to the one that wrote the letter in blue. So he says, cause her, this city, to know all of her abominations. You shall say, thus says the Lord God, a city shedding blood in her midst. Color blood, color her for the city. So in color city, so that her time, the city's time, will come. It's not here yet, but it's coming. He says, and that makes idols contrary to her interest for defilement. So what do you see about the city right here, just in this verse? If you mark the city, you see that they're shedding blood. You also see that they're making idols for defilement. That means that what they're doing is they are turning away from the truth about God to their own idols, the things that they have set up that have taken the place of God, that they are worshiping, and worship means to bow down to, that they are bowing down to. And so what he's saying is they've done two things. All right, now let's go on. He says, you have become guilty by the blood, mark blood there, which you, the city, so you're marking both yous, have shed. And you have become guilty by the blood and defiled by your idols, which you have made. Thus you have brought your day. Color you, color your day near. Now, over near, what I do is I draw a green circle that represents a clock. Sometimes I put a dinger on the top of it and put its hands at 3 o'clock and put two little balls on its feet. But that's because I'm older and that's the way clocks used to look. All right. And he says this, I'm older, but honey, I've got a lot left in me. It says, and you have come to your years. So he's saying, okay, the time's up. It's time for judgment. Therefore, now I put three red dots in a triangle for a therefore. When you see a therefore, you find out what the therefore is there for. What am I doing? I'm teaching you how to study inductively. You say, I want to learn more about that. Go online to Precepts for Life, and we'll tell you about workshops that we have all around the country. We'll tell you how to go online and learn how to study. We'll tell you about precept classes in your area so you can learn to study. And then you can find out books that will help you study, like, Lord, teach me to study the Bible in 28 days. So he says, therefore, I have made you a reproach to the nations. Jerusalem has become a reproach to the nations. Well, I want you to know, Precept Ministries is in 150 countries. We're in 70 languages. We're traveling all over the world. And you know what? The United States of America is a reproach to the nations. It is a reproach to the nations. I mean, people look down their nose at us. They disdain us. Where did pornography come from? Where did these horrible movies? Where did all this immorality come from? It came from America. We have contaminated the world instead of being a light to the world. It's but we were a light at one time. He says, and you are a mocking, American. Oh, you're American. We have become a mocking to all the lands, those who are near and those who are far from you. Color it again, speaking to Jerusalem, will mock you, you of ill repute, full of turmoil. Now, are we a land of ill repute? Yes. Are we a land that is full of turmoil? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Listen, I have from the year in review, which was written for the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters. It says, the air in Washington these days is deadlier than Potomac fever. There's a contentiousness, a divisiveness, a sense of dislike between differing parties that is so noticeable, it causes one's soul to cringe. Everywhere I turn, there are attempts to normalize evil and to make it look good and pleasant to men's souls. The Bible says, woe to those that call evil good and good evil. There are also constant attempts to make righteousness or holiness look intolerant and evil. More than ever is broadcasting the gospel of such great importance. Well, I want you to know that I was just at a conference. I was teaching them some of these things, and I was teaching about the mind and the heart. I was talking to a woman afterwards, and she asked her friend to go away so that she could talk to me. And she said, I want to ask you a question. If I have, and there was a hesitancy and she couldn't get it out, and I said, had an abortion. And tears began streaming down her face. If I've had an abortion, how do I get rid of the guilt? We'll study that later in the series. But precious ones, you do not want to miss what God has to say. Because remember, after judgment comes deliverance.
on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
America is at the crossroads. And you know what? We are about to go off the cliff because we took a wrong turn. We thought that we could turn away from God, that we could walk our own way, that we could make our own decisions, that we could say, this is my body. And we forgot that God created us, as Revelation 4 says, for His pleasure. We were created by God for His pleasure. We were created in His image. Yes, the image is marred and distorted by sin, but God's passion is for Him to work in our lives and to restore us to the image of Jesus Christ. Why the image of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus is the man who was born, who is flesh and blood like you and me, who was tempted in all points as we are. He suffered every temptation that mankind suffers, yet He did not sin. He left us a role model of what we should be. You say, but I can't do it. And you are right. You can't. So what do? You come to God and you say, this is your precept for life today. You come to God and you say, I am a sinner. I have sinned against You. I have chosen my way instead of Your way. I have walked according to the dictates of my mind, but I am repenting. I am having a change of mind. You are right. You are righteous. And I am confessing that I am a sinner. And I am thanking You, God, that Your Son, Jesus Christ, that when He hung on that cross, He paid for my sins in full. And He could do that because He was without sin. And I thank You that it is His blood that has paid the price for my sins. I thank You that You raised Him from the dead on the third day. I thank You that He lives, that He'll never die again. And I thank You that when I receive Him, I have eternal life and forgiveness of sins, every sin and any sin. Just call on His name and you'll be saved.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.